First chapter. Our scripture text this morning comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 3. And I read in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. And over the birds of the heavens, and over the living thing that moves on the earth, over every living thing." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw that he had everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done.
So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Here ends the reading. And you may be seated. I commend your stamina in staying with me for that reading, but thankfully it didn't last millions and millions of years, did it? And I think that that brings something up here as we consider this monumental chapter, this really important text for our faith and for our understanding of the whole Bible and really what we believe about God. This is incredibly important. And it really answers the biggest question that we all have, probably. You could say maybe, does God exist at all? Is that primary question, but how did we all get here? How did all of this end up the way that it is? Or if you are a believer in God, how did God create all of these things? You know, our Christian faith has been under attack for a number of years from the theory of evolution. And they argue that this world was created by accident, by a big bang, and that it developed by chance into this over millions or billions of years. But our scripture text here today gives us a much different account of what happened at the beginning. And this really is the thing that all of us struggle with. If you were to try to pin down even the best secular scientist in the world, they don't have a confident answer for what happened at the beginning. But God reveals it to us here in Genesis chapter 1. And if you're taking notes, there is some room in your bulletin on the back of one of the sheets there for you to take notes. I'm going to be covering three things. First, creation, then uncreation, and recreation. And each of these have four subpoints that are very similar to each other. So hopefully you can follow along. So first of all, creation. Notice here in the first two verses of Genesis 1 that God created in the beginning. There was nothing, there was only God, and then he created. And as we talked about in our children's message, there was no material to work with. It just says that God created. He did it. It started with him. There was then this first subpoint, there was darkness, emptiness, nothingness. And God created. And there's a fancy term you may have heard if you do a lot of reading. It's ex nihilo. He created out of nothing. And this is the singular power of God. No one else can do this. If you are to look around at science today and all of our amazing advancements in technology, especially those amazing things that we've done with medical science, we're able to save people that have been brain dead or their heart has stopped, but only for a certain amount of time, right? We're able to resuscitate them, we would call it. We're able to cure all sorts of diseases and illnesses. But you know what? One thing that no scientist or doctor in the entire world can do is actually create out of nothing. They also can't create life where there is no life. There are all sorts of studies being done, tests being done to try to create life, to try to recreate what some believe happened with the Big Bang or at the beginning of the evolutionary process that some argue for. But no one can recreate it. No one can come up with something out of nothing, and no one can create life where there was no life. But God can, and he did. God created the heavens and the earth. So after this darkness, we see the word of God in action. God said, "Let there be light." And we see over and over through this, let there be, and there was. God spoke and stars came out of his mouth. His word created all of the things around us. To the biggest stars and galaxies, I was just reading about some amazing things they've just discovered in the universe that no one had seen before. All of the universe created with the word of God, down to every molecule in the universe, with its great amazing detail and function, God created out of nothing with his word. So nothingness, and then the word of God. Romans 4:17 says, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." Did you hear that again? Who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is God's work that only he can do. Nothing like the Big Bang or modern science. And not only was God creating out of nothing, but it says here that he was shaping all of these things. If you're to look then at verses 3 and following here, we see that God doesn't just leave it at this mass of darkness and nothingness, this void that we read about in verse 2, when it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep." God didn't leave it there. Actually, it goes on to explain that God created each of the parts of creation with a special function, with special purpose, and it all works together perfectly. It complements everything. He created the laws of physics. Everything is in harmony and has purpose to it. This is not like the primordial soup that somehow had life spring forth from it. And you know, Christians have been, some have been tempted or have given in to trying to blend the Christian teaching that God created things, but that he used evolution. And maybe you've thought that way too. Some say that, well, God started it. He just created the elements at the beginning and then he let them do their thing. But notice here that this text tells us something completely different. That when God first created, there was this darkness, this formless void that was like a sea that was mysterious and dark and didn't have a form to it. But then God starts to separate and create. And first he creates the inanimate objects and he gets them all to work together. And then he creates life and he populates the world, ultimately ending with mankind, who is to rule over it and to take care of it. And it was all meant with purpose, and it all had proper function to it, unlike what people argue for with evolution, that all of this happened by chance. And I'll tell you, that takes a lot of faith to believe that all of these things work like they're supposed to on this earth by chance. In fact, the odds of that happening are so astronomical that it's unbelievable, really. But God tells us that he did all of this, shaping and forming and creating with his word in an orderly way and with great intent and specificity even. And then we see, after the darkness and nothingness and the word of God creating, it says that God created man in his own image. God had a special plan for mankind, and he modeled him after himself, breathed life into him, we read in chapter 2. And God, throughout all of this then, in this last subpoint, says that it was very good. All of this was good. Over and over, after each thing he makes, he says, it is good. And when he's done creating, he looks back and he says, it is very good. And this is important to point out because this is the result of God's work. Many people also struggle with the fact that there is evil in our world. There's trouble all over the place, and there are things that are not working right. You think of anything from hurricanes and volcanic eruptions to the fact that people are cruel and there's murder and violence throughout our world. But notice here how careful it is, how repetitive it is in saying that when God finished his creation, it was very good. And so this is all creation. And now we're going to look, we're going to step back a little bit then and look at what happened after this and see what I call uncreation, or the corruption of creation, everything being flipped on its head. And so first, it was good. It had been good when God finished it. But then there was mankind, and if you look forward to chapter 3, you see that everything starts to change. But it wasn't changing because of what God did. It was changing because of what people were doing. And the first thing that happens then, in this after this good state of things with people, is that they despise God's word. The very word that had created all things is now being rejected. The prince of darkness, the serpent, the devil that came in the garden to tempt Adam and Eve, he came in and started putting questions in their mind, and they started questioning the word of God, this powerful creating word of God. And they said, did God really say? And they despised him. And then they were tempted away, wanting to know good and evil like God did. God had made them in his own image. He had blessed them. And yet they wanted to be like God. They wanted to elevate themselves even to a higher state. Everything had been good for them. Everything had been nothing but blessing for them. But now they wanted something different than what God had given them. In Romans chapter 1, it describes a little bit of what's going on with this. And it says in 1:22 and following, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so, God had created man in his own image, but now they were trying to recreate God in their own image. And this brought them back to darkness, maybe a little bit like it had started out. Except this darkness was corrupt. It is the darkness of sin and death. And shortly after this, in Genesis chapter 6, God looks at mankind and what they had become. And he doesn't say anymore that it was good, much less very good. This is what he says in Genesis 6, 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. Every intention of the heart, only evil continually. Things had really changed, hadn't they? God had created everything to be great, and now people had been destroying the whole thing, undoing all of this goodness that God had done. And death reigned. After they fell into sin, Adam and Eve fell into sin, death reigned on earth. Romans 5 looks back on this and says this, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And then a couple verses later, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Death reigned after this point. God had created life where there was no life, and he had made everything good, and now mankind took over and brought wickedness and evil and darkness into the world. And now, instead of life reigning, death reigned. Before this, they were never going to die. They were going to live in paradise in the Garden of Eden, walking with God in the cool of the day forever. But now death was in the world, corrupting everybody that came from them all the way down to us. These people had rejected God and his word. Have we rejected God and his word? We do it all the time. We despise his word and what he says to us. We don't believe the truths that he tells us. And every one of us is born with this curse of death and sin upon us, born rebellious against God. We've despised this powerful, creative word of God. But it doesn't end there, thankfully. This God who had created everything from the beginning now steps in and changes things once again. He had a plan. And now he's starting once again with darkness. No life, nothingness. Because the people were dead in sin. It says that in Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. You know, God had nothing left to work with. And that's hard news for us to hear because we like to think there's some glimmer of hope, some flicker of goodness within us, some little bit of righteousness left in us that we can fan into flames and impress God and turn our life around and earn his favor, that we can fix this situation. Well, maybe if God helps us a little bit. We think that there's something good left in us, and that's what every Disney movie tells us and pretty much everything we see on TV, right? That really, deep down, somewhere in there, at your very core, you're actually good. But that's not the scriptural message. It says that after sin came into the world and death was reigning, that we were corrupt to our very core, and every thought and intention of our heart was only evil continually. And we are dead in our trespasses and sins. What can a dead man do to bring new life or to come alive? Nothing. I hear over and over in our Bible studies, dead is dead, right? That's what you've been telling me. That you learned from Ephesians 2. And that's the truth. There is no spiritual life or lingering righteousness in us to change anything. There's no material, no building blocks to build with. God has to start over from scratch with somebody who's completely dead spiritually. But I got good news for you. Because out of this darkness, God's word comes once again. His creative, powerful word. In John chapter 1, it talks a lot about this word that created the world. And it calls that word a he. And then listen to this in John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word of God that created everything that exists put on flesh and stepped into our world to change things, to recreate things. And just like God said, let there be light, and there was light, it says again in John 1, in him, the Word of God, Jesus, the man in the flesh, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And this Jesus, this Word in the flesh, he goes around on earth showing that he can create life where there is no life. Look at the miracles of Jesus, and most most powerfully maybe, shown in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, I'll tell you, Lazarus was dead beyond resuscitation. There is nothing that any of our doctors or scientists could do for Lazarus. He was stinky dead. Dead, dead. But what does Jesus do? The Word of God in flesh cries out to his dead friend Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth!" And guess what? Lazarus wasn't there saying, "Well, you know, I think that I'll be really good and obedient and I'll obey Jesus because I'm still partly alive." You know, he was dead, but now life was in him by the power and authority of the Word of Jesus. He created life where there was no life, something only God can do, and that God always does with his gracious word. And we see this all over Scripture, these things like Jesus saying, "Your sins are forgiven." Guess what? He creates something there that wasn't there before. A forgiven person. He says, "Take up your mat and walk." And guess what? Somebody who had no ability to walk can suddenly walk. He says, "Be still," to the waves and the ocean, and they're still. He says, "Believe," to people who do not believe and do not want to believe, and then they can believe. He says, "Be made new." In other words, be born again. And people are born again in their hearts spiritually. He says, "Be transformed in the renewing of your mind." And there's transformation by the power of the Word of God, Jesus. And in this state of darkness that he comes into, this light of God, it says in Colossians 1, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Jesus, like the great king that he is, came into the darkness, this kingdom of darkness where the prince of darkness, the devil, was reigning, where we were living with death reigning over us too. And he conquered and he transferred all of us who believe in him to the kingdom, or to his kingdom, the kingdom of the beloved Son. It says, "In him we have redemption." He bought us back. He bought us from that place of darkness with his very precious blood. And he redeemed us. He made us new. He brought us out of slavery into freedom. This creative Word of God, Jesus himself. And then it says in 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come." God had originally made mankind in his own image. We tried to make God in our image and to become like God or greater than God. And now Christ makes us new again in his image. And it says in 1 John 3 that we will be like him one day. He will make us new again. It says in Colossians 3, "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator." We are a new creation in Christ, created in his image. And let me tell you that it is all good for any believer, anyone who is in Christ, who has recognized that they're lost and sinful and under the reign of sin and death without Jesus. Anybody who has recognized that and cried out to Jesus for help and abides in him is called a saint, a new creation, created for good works. And listen to these promises from Revelation 21. I want to have this be the last thing that we think about. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Remember, they had become corrupted by mankind's sin. And they passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." God had created in the beginning. He started with nothingness and darkness. And then with his word, he created and shaped and formed everything with a purpose and in good order. And he called it good. He made man in his own image. But mankind took this goodness, this freedom, all these blessings, and rejected the word of God. Tried to make God in our own image and brought darkness and death into this world. But God, in his great mercy and grace, has recreated everything in Jesus. And all who believe in him get to receive it. He's making all things new. And that's good news for all of us who are struggling with this sinful world and our weak, frail bodies that wear out and die. God is making all things new in Christ. Not because we are good or have anything to offer him or have earned this in any way, but because he is gracious and because he is the one who has the power to do all of this by his holy word. Let's pray. Lord God, you are so good and powerful. The way that you create, help us to trust in your powerful word. Lord, may we not reject your word and despise it and go our own way, for that ends in sin and death. But Lord, may we receive this work of Jesus, where he makes us new creations through his blood, through the redemption that he bought for us on the cross. And may we look with excitement and anticipation at how you will finish making all things new. In his name we pray. Amen.